Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. You are on with the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on X/Twitter at Smith_MLB. With me tonight is hashtag the Sox don't suck, otherwise known as Jeremy Schilling. Jeremy, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you on Twitter/X?
I'm doing good, Charlie. I'm doing excellent. They're sucking me in, man. They're sucking me in. I've resisted. I've said bad team. Then they dismantled the bad team. They played good baseball. They're defending. They're timely hitting. And then tonight happens, and I'm just like buzzing around my house, excited as can be.
Yeah, so the Boston Red Sox ended up winning again. They won on Bueller Day. So Bueller didn't get the win, but Bueller pitched, and we still won. So 7-game win streak. Ties us for, actually, it's the best win streak we've had since, thanks to you letting me know, 2023, when the Red Sox won 8 games. So the Red Sox sweep two different teams here. You've got, first off, Tampa Bay. I didn't think we were going to win today, but you sweep the Nationals, you sweep the Rockies. I have to go back for like the third or fourth time. I say the Red Sox are going to win and we're going to get the AL pennant. Then we're not. Then we are. Then we're not. And then we are again. It's just, I feel like I just need to shut up, which would make a couple of former bench people probably really excited. But I mean, can we celebrate the fact that this was a team that nobody thought was going to go anywhere when Rafael Devers got traded? The San Francisco Giants traded for the wrong guy. They overpaid again. I mean, what's your take on that now? Do you miss him? Because I don't.
Given the Will Clark commentary and the way he's performed and the way that team's been performing, it looks good in the here and now, obviously, especially when you put in light how well we're playing. And it seems like the team is just clicking. It's positive vibes only when they pan to the dugout. I mean, it's hard to say right now that it wasn't, you know, potentially the right move. I mean, I just think it's still a little short-sighted to say here on July 10th that because we've won our seventh in a row and there's some stuff coming out of San Francisco that's not favorable to Rafi, that it's we won the trade or didn't win the trade. I've said before the season started, I was okay moving Rafi. The time moment is never going to sit right with me. Versus to, you know, a million in other areas, and then I'll be happy. You know, I will say this about the win tonight. It was the perfect win coming out of beating up bad teams. You get the Rays, the starter shoves, You're down 3-1, and then good defense, timely hitting, good base running. Like, it all just, they look like a functional, good baseball team from all aspects. Really, the only downside is Buehler gives up the 2 home runs, but he was fine. I don't think we should be calling for him to be traded or traded or sent to the bullpen. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, I a lot of people, I mean, full transparency, I'm a Buehler guy. I'm still a Giolito guy. I wanted Bayo to be, you know, on. I've been probably more positive than some of the other folks on the crew, and I'm going to continue riding the high. Like your hashtag says, the Sox don't suck right now. And there are lully moments. You win a 6-game set. But facts are facts, right? Numbers don't lie. People do. Numbers didn't lie. You win 6 games. There's a little stretch of a couple wins, losses in the middle. Then you lose 6 games. So that 6-game stretch, you've just washed it away. So that happens. Now you've got a 7-game stretch. I'm going to be really upset if we lose 7 games in a row. Now, we beat up on the teams that we're supposed to beat up on. As Terry would say, these are like the obvious, you got to have these wins. And then you're going to have the games against Tampa Bay where, you know, this is going to be a pretty rough setup. You're hoping that you can get a split here, 2-2. It'd be pretty sweet if we could take 2 of the next 3 here. You know, they don't have their best starter right now. You've got, in the next game, you've got, you know, Dobbins and Rasmussen. Crochet is winning and he's going to shove against Shane Baz. And then Bayo's going up against Pepio. If I told you right now that before June 1st, would you call me a liar if I said that Garrett Crochet won back-to-back games as a member of the Red Sox before June 1st?
No. I mean, they weren't winning his starts.
I would be a liar because Garrett Crochet did not win back-to-back games as a member of the Boston Red Sox until the month of June. Why does that make me upset? Garrett Crochet, I think, is 9-4. Garrett Crochet, in 5 of those appearances that he did not register a decision, allowed 1 run or less. Those are games you have to have. So to your point, Jeremy, $30 million just got shed from everything. It's gone. And it's going to be gone next year and the year after that and the next 7-8 years, right? How can we invest that money into a bat? Now, one of the names that got talked about recently was Eugenio Suarez, who's playing in Arizona. That team's not really going anywhere. I don't think they're going to be able to catch up to the Dodgers, who lost 6 games or 7 games in a row, whatever, for the first time in I don't know how many years, because the Dodgers are like an all-star team already, but they're dealing with injuries. We don't know when, you know, they don't know when Max Muncy's coming back. Teoscar Hernandez is down. They've got all sorts of problems, right? Our problems aren't necessarily injuries. Our problem was that we got rid of someone who was arguably the best hitter on the team. And so far in the month of July, Trevor Story is lining up to probably have his most, you know, probably explosive month so far. Sadon Rafaela just can't miss. He's just doing everything he possibly can. If it's not a home run, it's a 2-run single, 2-run double, and they're clutch hits. So he's going to exceed the expectations of 2024. And it looked like he was going to be below the mark in a lot of different areas. Lucas Giolito plays MLB The Show to get a scouting report on like other players to see how he does, which I think is hilarious. He throws 75 pitches and then he's, quote, out of energy in the game. They're going to have to up his stamina level after what he's been able to do. Bayo just got a complete game, his first of his career. Granted, it was against Colorado, but he was shoving. I think his first 12 pitches were all strikes. So a lot of things are going right for this team. They're throwing more fastballs. They're throwing first pitch strikes. They're being smart. They're minimizing the damage with what I like to call just dumb baseball, which is bad throws, not being conscious of like what's going on around them. And one of the errors in the first inning, I believe it was the first inning with Walker Buehler, ended up getting turned into a single because the guy that got the hit, I forget his name for Tampa Bay, is just faster than light and nobody would have made that play. But everything is starting to click right now. And, you know, sorry, Terry, but these are bench players that are getting it done, and they just got it done against Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay is a good team. So, you know, I'm happy that the Red Sox are winning. If the Red Sox do well, we do well as a podcast. Other podcasts that do stuff regarding the Red Sox will also succeed. When they suck, we suck. We might have interesting takes, but all in all, more people are going to listen when the Red Sox do well. So I'm very happy with how this is going. And honestly, even if we do end up losing, you know, two of the next three, you're one of the two hottest teams in baseball. And the other hottest team in baseball is in your division. I never thought after we lost six games in a row that the Red Sox and Yankees were going to be less than three games away from one another. But they've lost another starter. They've lost another bat. They've DFA'd DJ LeMahieu. And some kid from Massachusetts made the start yesterday for the Yankees and did decently well. His first career strikeout was Cal Raleigh. So who knows what's going to happen in New York. But the Red Sox better be buyers here. I didn't like necessarily what I heard from Craig Breslow about we don't necessarily need to make a trade. I would argue that if you don't have an additional right-handed bat in that lineup. Your thoughts?
I mean, I'm excited to get Bregman back tomorrow. I think Cora said he's going to play two out of three games over the weekend. So I'd expect that to be Friday and Sunday with a rest day on Saturday. Let them see how his body responds. If it doesn't respond well, then he doesn't play Sunday. He has the All-Star break and he's back full swing coming out of the break. I think the bigger issue is a legitimate top of the rotation. And focus on a bat, although in a perfect world, I do think you add a right-handed bat somewhere along the way. The role players are playing extremely well. I caution people from expecting this level of production for the balance of the season. The one guy I do think has the potential to sustain the output is Rafaela's power numbers. I just think he's young. He's super athletic. We already know what he is defensively. I think if he can continue to have a little bit better plate discipline and swing at balls in the zone, you're going to see his power numbers just go up. Maybe not obviously like the last 3 weeks, but I think he's a 20-25 home run guy. I do. I don't know where the RBI numbers are going to land, having him hitting the bottom of the order. But I think that if this continues, obviously he won't be hitting in the bottom of the order, I think, as we approach the fall. That's where I'm at. You know, I mean, maybe if Wong doesn't start hitting you, maybe, I can't believe I'm saying this considering he was the starting catcher coming into the year, but maybe you look to upgrade backup catcher just because Narvaez has clearly taken over the everyday role. And maybe you fill in the right hand at bat with Toro, just because I also think Toro's kind of as good as he's been. I don't expect him to be in the lineup if we are making a run at a postseason spot in September. So if you're going to go get your right handed at bat, maybe that's the spot you do it. Obviously, there's more talent than spots in the outfield. Bregman's back at third. Story's clearly your second baseman. You know, where else do you really need improvements? So for me, it's a number two behind Crochet. Potentially, if you need to do it, backup catcher and, you know, that right-handed bat.
I don't disagree about the catching situation. We definitely need to find another solution. Narvi's hauling. I don't absolutely love every single at-bat he has, but truth be told, you're the catcher. You have a different job. I don't necessarily need you to be Cal Raleigh. You know, you're not going to hit 36 home runs before the
All-Star. There's only one Cal Raleigh.
There's only one. And before the season started, I said he was going to probably be the best catcher in baseball. Like, the guy just mashes. And he hits any pitch. It doesn't matter if it's low inside, low outside. But Narvi's not that. It'd be great if he would be.
Let me ask you a question. He's been is perfect. And before you ask your question, Charlie, I want to say one thing. Narvaez is not just the starting catcher because of his defense and because of he's been a plus bat and given issues with the lineup, he's hit in the middle of it. Tonight was a perfect example of who I think he's becoming on this roster. Something happened to Chapman in the middle of that second at bat tonight. And I know he gave up hit coming out of it. But Narvaez comes out, slow walk to the mound. He's out there for as long as he can possibly be, and they kept the camera on him, and he had a really slow walk back. And I don't know if he just felt like Chapman needed to catch his breath, calm down. Maybe Cora's talking about it right now. But I just felt as that was going on that he had an unbelievable feel for the moment that balanced Chapman out, and then he was dominant after he gave up the base hit. So it's not just hitting. It's not just that he's a better framer and he's got a better pop time. He has control over what's going on in the pitcher catcher battery. So I thought tonight was a perfect example of that.
I don't disagree. I mean, when he gives up, and the single wasn't anything crazy. It wasn't like an absolute rope job into the outfield. No, it was just jammed. a little flick, and it was a little flick. And then he comes out and gets our former catcher to strike out on a check swing, and he gets the last guy. You know, here are my questions. I got a couple. Aroldis Chapman. Do you trade Aroldis Chapman right now?
No.
I agree. I can't trade him.
You should not be trading anybody on the big league club unless it at least has the appearance of making the big league roster better. Who else is going to close games at the level he's close? He's lights out. People can't touch him. So if they do that, it's going to piss me off. You signed Aroldis Chapman to finish games and get you into the postseason. He's doing exactly that. As of right now, we hold the last wild card. Why are we even talking about this?
Well, here's the thing. You know his name's going to be floated around. His name's going to be floated around. You know Jaron Duran's name's now been floated around. Apparently San Diego is interested in him. And I'm curious to know what San Diego's playing and giving up for them. We flirted with San Diego in the past for a couple of trades. I don't trust their GM. I think he's a complete scumbag. I think he would try to give garbage away to get Duran. And I think I'm maybe the only person here. I don't know. I don't want to trade Chapman. I don't want to trade Duran. I don't want to trade Abreu. Even though Duran doesn't have like the year that he had in 2024, if you're going to try to say right now that you are a contender and you are trying to go to the playoffs, you need to have some level of leadership. Willy Abreu is going to be your 3,100 guy. That's going to happen. He's more than halfway there. He's 18, and I don't even know how many RBIs he has right now. But if you get rid of if you get rid of Duran, dude, you're not going to keep David Hamilton.
Well, he's got options. He's just got options at Worcester and Mayor stays. So that's breaking news. So on the topic of Duran, I'm kind of in the same spot as I am with Chapman. If you're going to trade Duran, it better be with prospects to get a number two, a backup catcher, and an arm. You have to, any move that you're going to make, you have to make the big league club better. Trading Duran without discussing what the package would be automatically makes you worse. And I can't stand this conversation where it's like, well, we have a surplus of outfielders. Yeah, well, did you plan on losing Bregman? No. Okay. No. So what happens if Rafael makes a diving catch in the alley tomorrow and bangs his knee on the fence and he's down for 2 weeks? Or Willier, who's already been on the IL, goes back on the IL, or, you know, Roman, whatever bad scenario, it's okay to have a team that has more talent, that has spots in the lineup there with, and by the way, this is where the Devers trade comes back in, because with Devers not here, you have flexibility. And Rafaela can play short, can play second, probably can play third, probably can play first. I wouldn't be shocked if he could catch. I'm half kidding, but he's that much of a freak athlete. So you free up Rafaela. Rafaela plays every day. It just may not be in center field to give guys blows. You know, you're going to have to use the DH spot to get Bregman a blow here and there to make sure he doesn't have another issue. Duran is only going to be more effective with a day down and a day DHing. There's no reason to just get rid of a player because the perception is that we have four starting outfielders and you only have three spots. It's ridiculous. So in summation here, Charlie, let me bring this home. Don't just talk to me about trading Duran. If you ask me blankly, would you trade Duran? I'm going to say it's dumb on its face unless you tell me they're getting Fernando Tatis, a backup catcher, and an arm, and you may have to package some Red Sox prospects in there to make the big league club better. But until I hear some package that actually does that, I think it's an absolutely dumb idea. Now, if you do feel like you don't want to continue with a surplus, that's what you do in the offseason, Charlie. You handle it in the offseason, not when you're on a pennant run.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing.
I know.
With you. I'm with you. I find that we've gotten. So we've gotten burned on a lot of deals, and the Devers one doesn't look like it's going to be one. We just wash our hands. You know, we got little to nothing on paperback. That trade, really, you can't review it for 3 to 4 years. That's it. You know, done. So I'm curious to see what happens with both. Because if those pitchers end up, I don't want Hicks as a starter ever again. I don't ever want to see him do that. So keep him as a reliever. You have a left-handed 100 mile an hour guy and a right-handed 100 mile an hour guy. I'm good with both of them. We don't need to mess around with those. I don't think that we're going to be able to take the team seriously if they haven't already gotten a confirmed, okay, yes, we're willing to part ways with this. So already one commenter had said, you know, Joe Ryan for Jaren Duran. It'd be hard. Would you do it for Joe Ryan? I like Joe Ryan. Jaren Duran, you know, is going to significantly impact the team in a positive way. Any way you look at it for the next couple of years, Joe Ryan, I think, could do the same thing. If San Diego, I mean, here's the thing. Terry brought it up. The Padres have a situation of turmoil with the siblings. One team's running it, or the wife is running it, then another sibling is supposed to be the controller for it, but it's like a kerfuffle and no one knows what the hell's going on. They don't know their mouth from their nose. I had to use that one as opposed to another word. But yeah, I mean, it's chaos. So trading Fernando Tatis and getting away from that crazy contract, that maybe that does work. You know, you send Duran there and you get somebody like Fernando Tatis to Boston. Could he handle the pressure here? I hope so. But that bat, that swing with the monster in left field could be really exciting. It could be really, really great. But we've also had a lot of misses too. Red Sox balked on getting Teoscar Hernandez because they didn't give him a third year. How did that turn out? He was a 30 plus 100 guy in LA last year. He'll probably be close to that this year. That bat at Fenway Park, dude, he's 30 homers every year. Tyler O'Neill had 30 home runs with us. He was that good because of the wall. Unfortunately, he's not healthy, and that's part of the problem. But yeah, man, I mean, if we can keep going in this direction, I mean, we're also like, we're running like crazy. We're stealing bases when we want to, at will. We haven't been like that in a really, really long time. But all of a sudden now, we're raking. So, you know, I don't know, man. We're in a unique place right now where this team is trending in the right direction. Things are going well. Crochet's winning back-to-back games. Your starters are going 6-7 innings / complete games. So, I mean, dude, we're winning the games that we need to win. I was hoping that we were going to win minimum 5 games. You have to sweep Colorado, and I'm hoping to take 2 out of 3 against Washington. We got all 6. And then you start off Tampa Bay with a win. I really don't know how we can complain right now. Now, Hamilton getting optioned, that's the right decision, as hard as it was. He's, you know, it's just wheels. You've gotten rid of wheels. That's essentially all you did. Meyer staying. Let's go. I'm 100% with you. I want him here too. Now, when Bregman comes back, who's the next person to go? Do you get rid of Toro? Do you send Meyer down
to
get some more playing time?
No, the Hamilton move is for Bregman. Bregman's activated for tomorrow's game.
Okay, my apologies. This
is going to be the roster probably going into the break and coming out. And I think it would mean that Meyer is going to be getting the right-handed starting pitching starts. And I think Romy's going to play second base. And I think that's how it's going to work out. which I like.
I mean, I can't wait till he comes back. I never thought in a million years that I would say I can't wait for him to come back. As a Houston Astro, I hated them all. And now you got players that, you know, former outfielder who's playing out in Chicago, Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker said he loves playing for a team where the wins don't have an asterisk next to it. It's like, oh my God, throwing shade. I love it. Absolutely. Let's go. Some of the players didn't get the memo. Jose Altuve is still there. He's going to end his career never winning another World Series. Okay. Have fun. Chicago's set up in a much better place now with him and Pete Crow Armstrong. I mean, that Pete Crow Armstrong is going to be the next 50-50 guy. It's going to be him and Shohei. That keep your eyes on that one. I would love to make a trade for somebody like that. I cannot believe that he got traded to Chicago. Unreal. Unbelievable when it happened. But it is what it is. So right now, I think we have a lot to be happy about. I think there's still a pretty good chance that we can get 2 out of 3. If Crochet wins that game, you just have to win one of those other two games. That's it. That's it. And then we go into the break winning, 11 of 13 games? I'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, look, tomorrow's going to be a grind. I don't know if you want to get into that now. The pitching matchup, I don't think favors the Sox tomorrow. But as they showed tonight and commentary to the chat on YouTube is, yeah, they didn't hit the starter tonight. He was really, really good. But guess what? They still won the game. We can't. So he comes out, he shoves, and you want to find fault. And well, we didn't get to the starter. Who cares? We got to the bullpen. Like that's a confusing take for me. Considering that they were down 3-1 in the moment, it wasn't like it was a 1-1 game. And then it became a bullpen game. No, you were losing 3-1 and led by the young guys, by the way, came in and found a way to win the game. Right. I think that's, if they're going to win tomorrow, I would expect tomorrow to look similar. Hunter Dobb is going, coming back from missing a couple starts. So I would be surprised if the starters ended the game with us up. I'd like to keep it close and get to that bullpen again.
I'll say this much to your point too. You know, like we didn't rake against Taj. You know what? If you're going to say it like that we didn't do that much, Buehler only had 2 mistake pitches, 2 home runs. That's it. Otherwise, 3 hits. Their starter allowed 2. And to your point, we got to the bullpen. That also counts. So yeah, if you don't rake against a starter, but you get to the bullpen, I don't care. It doesn't matter because as you mentioned, Jeremy, we still won the game. So it doesn't matter if your starting pitcher throws 8 innings of no hit baseball, striking out 14 guys. If your closer blows the game, you still lost. So facts are facts. Again, numbers don't lie. Right now, the numbers are going in our direction. We have everything going in our direction right now. So yeah, I don't care that we didn't rake against their starter. I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. None. But yeah, let's get into this. No, so, go ahead.
I mean, one last thing I just want to note is look at the type of hitting that took place in that 7th inning. Mayer absolutely mashes a ball that should have probably been a single, but he hit it so hard that it got to the wall, allowing Story to score and Romy to get to third. And then the at bat by Rafaela, like he laid off a couple pitches. He did swing at a ball, but then you couldn't tell me that he would have, I think that was a changeup from Baker where he kind of hit it on the end of the bat up the middle. I mean, that was a mature hit. That's not something I think he would have done in that moment last year. It was it just the way they did it, the timeliness of the hitting, it shows that they're starting to become, I think, a good baseball team. They also are playing better defense. So the signs are there. Are they one of the top teams in the American League? No. Are the young guys going to continue to get better at the big league level? And we are potentially not at where we could be in September if the front office supports the big league club at the deadline. I'm excited to see it. I also don't, you know, on a side, and I don't want to get negative on a day like today when we're on a 7-game heater and playing well, but you know, I have obviously, and this is probably for a different episode, but I don't trust Breslow at the deadline whatsoever. So unless you have anything else about tonight's game, we can get into tomorrow's.
Yeah. Really quickly too, to your point about Rafaela's at bat, he kept on trying to pinch him with that slider. because the first one he got caught looking. The second time he saw that pitch, he swung and I think he missed at that one because it was strike, ball, strike. He fouled one or two off and then slider again. And he just hit that one into center field. So it's just, like you said, a professional at bat, but you throw this, you're not throwing 106 miles an hour. You're throwing mid upper 80s. It was 86, 87 miles an hour. Most sliders are in that range for somebody like this guy. And you tried getting cocky with that slider and you beat him twice. You didn't beat him the third time. I don't know what happens if we don't, if he doesn't get that, if he doesn't get that hit. I maybe we're tied 3-3 and it gets, to extras. I have no idea. This used to be the team that would lose one run games. We had 17 one run losses this year. The second most in the majors at one point. Now we're winning those one run games and we're doing it without Devers. I think that's like a really, really important piece to this. You know, you've lost arguably the biggest bat in your lineup since David Ortiz from the left side. And we're winning. So yeah, that's the last bit I was going to say. This matchup, we have Drew Rasmussen against Hunter Dobbins. To your point, you mentioned he's coming back. Rasmussen has not been great. He had a rough month of June, had a stellar month of May. He went three straight starts without allowing a run. And then first start in June, same thing, 23 straight innings without allowing a run. Dropped his ERA from 3.38 to 2.14. He's now up to 2.82 after kind of a blippy month of June. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to see what he's going to do, but I'd like to say that this is going to be probably another one-run game. I think it's going to be another one-run game. I hope we win it, but that's my two cents on it. I'm hoping that Dobbins can give us six innings and we can get some magic from the boys.
My expectations for Dobbins is four innings, coming off, an injury. I think he's probably going to have a pitch limit between 60 and 80. I'm thinking 75, although I doubt they share that with us. I just think that the importance of blowing out the terrible teams in Colorado and in Washington is going to play up tomorrow, or is going to be a big factor for tomorrow. So we saw Whitlock and Chapman sharp tonight in part pitched. The bullpen for what feels like forever is not over that innings, and you can keep it close and get Rasmussen out of the game. I think you have a chance to win it. I'm starting to trust this offense. And tonight went a long way in a come from behind victory for way. And if this is a one run game going into the bullpen, I think we'll have a good chance to go ahead and win it. With that said, can't win every game. And I do think the Rays are going to win tomorrow night.
I'm hoping that we can do it and, make it a 9-game streak, because I don't think we're going to lose Kershaw's game either. I'm gonna leave it on that one, unless there's anything else that you have.
Go Sox. It's nice to have Bregman back tomorrow.
It'll be exciting to have him back. That's gonna do it for the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.
Warning: the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations, because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage Door Locks from Menards. locks. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money